The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Skinny are helping you show how smart you are with the 1Q quiz, an all-new, super challenging and super quick daily quiz built by The Spinoff. Every Monday, Skinny are giving you the chance to prove you're smart with the Skinny Extra Credit question. Get it right, and you'll get the chance to score yourself some Skinny Extra mobile credit so you can text, call, or even video call your group chat and gloat about how big your brain is. T's and C's apply.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.
Nau mai, haere mai, whakatau mai rā. He kona e pūrangi tēnei e pāna, ki te ao Māori. I'm Leonie Hayden. This is a podcast about being Māori in the modern world. Te reo Māori. He iti te rerenga kōrero, he nui te kaupapa. Welcome to Nē. I te tīmata o te tau, ka iki au i tēnei haerenga ki te ako i te reo Māori ki Rūmaki Reo, kei te wānanga o Takiura ki Tamaki Makaurau. He pai tonu te haerenga, engari e tahi wā he pauri, e tahi wā he harikoa. Ka puki ake ka heke iho o kukare a roto i a rā i a wiki. He ua ua, o te rā he harikoa tēnei mahi. My co-host Mirianna has also jumped on the Rūmaki Reo waka I tēnei tau, and we wanted to record the beginning of our journey here to share with you, our listeners, who may also be starting kurapō or other wānanga reo about now, to share our hopes and dreams, our fears, what we're struggling with, and to get some advice from some of the best in the game. Our other co-host, Te Kuru, well, he's a kura kaupapa kid, a passionate advocate for our reo from a long line of rangatira who have stood on the front lines as kaitiaki of te reo Māori. We're incredibly lucky to have him on our team and as a mate, especially because we're going to record a partner episode to this one in Mahuru in September, all in te reo Māori. That is the goal that we're setting for ourselves today. Now, the few words I just said at the beginning about how I'm finding kura was likely filled with hapa. I didn't have anyone check it, I just said it. And this is how we have to roll in order to learn. We have to be brave enough to make mistakes, to get it wrong, and to speak in a childlike way. That is the hardest thing for me. We're in kōangareo when it comes to our reo. We're tamariki ne. Nō reira, tēnei te mihi ki ngā tauira o te reo Māori katoa. It's humbling, but paikare, it's worth it. Hoki mai anō, I am joined once again by my co-hosts Mirianna Johnson and Te Kuru Dews. Tēnā kōrua.
Tēnā koe hoa.
Kia ora.
How are you guys going?
Oh, kei te awangawanga au I tēnei podcast, get the kupu Māori for podcast.
Kōnai ipurangi.
Ai, kōnai ipurangi, he kupu haumoku. Ai, even just talking about that, it all always gets me a little bit nervous.
Ai.
It's not only, you know, when you're about speaking the reo, but it's also those inadequacies you feel as a Māori not having your reo there.
Ai.
And also speaking to those moi moi a of why we're doing this journey, eh? It's always quite an emotional thing, I feel.
So emotional. Oh my God.
All the feels.
Kia kaha kōrua, kia kaha.
Aye. Now, I've been at my Rūmaki Reo for 6 weeks now, but Mirianna, you have just finished week one. How did it go?
We are, so just finished week one of Wiki Whakau, orientation week. And so that's been in Rearua, which is, they're nice. The first 2 weeks are in Rearua. And it's also just to ensure that we get all the details of what the course entails before we move to Rūmaki Reo. It's been cool, eh? It's what's actually been really beautiful to see, because so we've been online for the first 2 weeks just to be cautious with the current wave of COVID, which, you know, initially is obviously, I was a bit hoha, you know, really keen to be in the classroom with all my fellow tauira But then when you look at the Zoom screen of everyone's tiny little face and you think, wow, there's 100 of us that have all made this commitment, who are all dedicating a year of our lives to this. People have their pepe. You know, it's quite humbling and really heartwarming to see just the dedication of so many people. So, yeah, really feeling inspired and just trying to pick up as much as I can. So really, you know, tuhi here, whakatauki ho. I was thinking of one of the whakatauki that has been talked about a lot in the last week is no mai te hapa, mā te hapa ka ako, patua te taniwha o whakamā. And I was thinking when you in your intro about how, yeah, you know, koina te guiding whakatauki for all of us in this time. So, yeah, I've been just making a mental note of those whakatauki and absorbing all of the good energy, the good mauri of everyone gathered to in pursuit of āre o rangatira. Yeah, how about you, e hoa?
Good. You know, we've got a our very first whakapuaki coming up, and I think there's four of those throughout the year where we have to stand and speak no notes, whakapuaki. It's just all our kōrero from within. And on the one hand, I'm like, oh, no, we're ready. You know, they know how to teach us how to do this, and they know what we're capable of, even if people come to do maki reo with very little reo. But man, that taniwha is getting stronger the closer we get to that, and it's starting to get quite emotional in class. The idea for many people of standing up and speaking in any language is so terrifying. And then, yeah, and I find myself sort of, and there's no comparison, obviously, but te kuru, I think about our experience versus, like, does that taniwha exist for you? Or did you get rid of that in primary school, you know? Have you been doing this your whole life? Just e tu, kōrero mai, or do you get nervous?
When I was kura wānganui, so I was either 10 or 11, and I did a whakataetae kōrero, I entered into one. It was the Auahi Kore competition. I don't think they run them again these days, but it was held in Tauranga. And I, yeah, that was my first public sort of speaking engagement as a 10-year-old or something. And the speech was about Auahi Kore.
Good boy.
And I was, yeah, it was nerve-wracking. So what you describe now is it brings back that memory. and I think what reflecting on it, I guess my message to our listeners, you know, if you're not going to hit the ground running. I'm not the best speaker. I'm not the, you know, I don't have all the skills in terms of Māori weaponry. I don't have the most poetic language, but I would say that what separates me from some people that I sort of came up with is persistence. And I am like dedicated to te reo. Miriana, you spoke about dedication, and I guess I'm only young fella in comparison to my pakeke who have dedicated their whole lives to te reo. You know, some of my aunties did he kāinga mō te reo, night school in Rotorua. They didn't have all the resources. They weren't wealthy. It wasn't like a well-funded program, but they did it on the, you know, on the smell of an oily rag, and they raised their tamariki as reo Māori students. So that's what I think about when I think about dedication. And yeah, for me, I was nervous as a kid. I guess there are occasions where we even see the Prime Minister, as eloquent as she is, she's nervous. So it just depends on what kind of context you're in, I think. Speaking, there's a famous, I don't know if it's a whakatauki, but when you're, there's a meme that went around that when you're speaking in front of your class or whatever, you might be all right. And then when you're speaking in front of people like Sir Po Temara, then it might make you just a little bit more, nervous than you might be on another day. But so I guess it just depends on what sort of context you're in.
Ai, he taumata, eh?
Yeah.
Because, like, yeah, to me, speaking in front of a class probably feels the same to you as speaking in front of some of those po.
I think it gets easier over time, is what I'm saying. So just got to be, everyone's got to be persistent.
Persistence.
Aye. Speaking in front of po, that sounds like a nightmare that I'd have before doing a speech, eh?
Yeah.
Well, and like forgetting the kupu, waking up.
Luckily, as wahine, there's very little chance that we'll have to do that. So that's a stress. Yeah. Mostly, not entirely, but mostly tāne have to shoulder. So kia ora ngā tāne.
Although there's that pressure, eh? Hey, I mean, have you done I haven't done a karanga on my marae, but I have had to do, I did a karanga as part of an aromatawai. And, but, you know, took it seriously and wanted to really evoke all that you do when you do a karanga. And that was pretty petrifying.
Aye.
But luckily I had a older whaia who stood with me. She didn't do the karanga but walked with me, and that was really good to settle the Māori.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whilst we don't have to get up and do, you know, kai kōrero or, you know, whai kōrero, I'm still not looking forward to the time one of my aunties taps me on the shoulder and says, e tu, karanga mai.
I did karanga a few times at high school, which now I wish I could go back and say to the school, don't make children do that. Because we and the other girls that were tapped to do it, we just were like, oh, it's a performance. Learn the words and stand and do the performance. We weren't ready to carry that, and I wish they'd never asked us to do it. But that said, we apparently are learning karanga this year from Nanny Carr Williams, who is an incredible kaiako pauako at Takiura. She's 82 years old. He matato, yeah. And I'm really looking forward to that because then, yeah, like you say, it's like that is something that you want to learn how to carry properly.
Mm.
That is one of the outcomes of learning te reo that I'm most looking forward to. It's things like that. It's not just being conversational, which is also going to be awesome because there's so many katakata and deeper meanings of things that you can get in te reo Māori that you can't in te reo Pākehā.
Aye.
But yeah, it's all the things. It's all the things. Are you finding that you're already impatient in week one, that like you're like sort of learning bits and pieces and you're just like, I want more, I want more, I want more. Why don't I know more?
Nah, see, I feel I'm enjoying sort of slowly easing myself into it.
Yeah.
I think having done night classes for a couple of years previously, I've already had my impatience checked a bit.
Yeah.
So, which is good. I you know, I'm naturally a very impatient person, and you know, I feel quite confident speaking in English, so it's incredibly frustrating to me to have to then speak like a baby. But you have to, eh?
Yeah.
And then the impulse to switch back to English is always so strong. But no, I mean, I think that's kind of how I see my real journey now, is just take a bit here, take a bit here. Obviously, I'll be dunked in the deep end shortly, but, you know, you can't absorb everything at once. And so you've got to just, you know, actually just picking up a whakatauke here and there, you know, making note of the kiwaha that the kaiako learn. I'm quite satisfied with that at the moment.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a nice baby steps.
Yeah, we're making our way through the children's books in the whare puka puka at kura, and that's quite humbling because, you know, some of them, like they're four kohanga reo and every single page has a kupu on it that we don't know. They're like, oh man, I'm 4 years old in this space.
Yeah.
But it's also awesome.
Just want to circle back and make the distinction that when we speak, it's not just whai kōrero.
Aye.
And it's not just karanga. Mm. Like there are lots of engagements for Māori where men and women speak. So, you know, making the reference of speaking in front of Pau, I've only done whai kōrero in front of him twice, but I was fortunate to be a student of his at Whare Wānanga as well. So there are lots of opportunities for us to practice and build confidence, whether it's giving a mihi to the ringawera in the wharekai. That's often a training ground for someone younger in the whānau, or for, you know, a younger person who isn't at doing the whai kōrero yet, and our whānau in particular. But there are lots of opportunities for us to get up and practice. If you're the only Māori at an organisation, we know there are lots of opportunities for you to get up and you can extend that mihi and those kiwaha whakatauke that you throw in each time. So, yeah, it's just about building confidence over time. That's what I think. But awesome that you're both on that ara.
Aye. That's a good, that's a good point. Oh man, it reminds me of the last time I did a mihi to the ringawera at a kura reo last year, and I just went completely off track, you know, because, you know, mihi is supposed to be he poto, and then I ended up just giving a speech about the whole day, and it just like, and I could see my kaiako looking at me like wide eyes, like, is she taking in anything today? But I couldn't stop. I didn't know when to end it because I just lost my whole train of thought. Oh, where? But you need those moments, eh? You need those moments.
And men get a bad rap, eh? Men get a bad rap, but
I mean, yeah, I feel like going on and on and on, you know, he tino Māori.
Yeah.
What are your guys' favourite learnings from the last week or two?
Oh, kupu that I learned. Well, no, the kupu was a word that I have known for a long time, but the tikanga of the kupu, whakairo, was explained to me on Friday. And the iro is he momo huhu, like a type of worm that eats through wood. And so whakairo, the carving of our wood is to be like the iro and make those patterns that the wood, that the little worm makes in the wood. I thought that was a beautiful tikanga. I really loved learning that.
Atahua. I love learning the etymology of our kupu. That's awesome.
And then we had a beautiful session on haputanga on Friday as well from Nene Ka, and that was some really hohonu kōrero that we were even asked not really to share. Like, that's how sort of deep it went, and it was really beautiful, and just sort of around the concepts of ahotanga ingai and whenua and all that kind of stuff. I was in tears by the end of it. It was awesome.
Oh, atahua. I think for me, it's not so much, it's some questions that were posed to us, so an aspect of our course's iwi hapu studies, which was one of the reasons I really wanted to do this particular rūmaki reo course at Te Wānanga o Raukawa, because I want to learn more about who I am and, you know, really build my foundations. And the whaia leading that course sort of was putting questions to us about, you know, well, what is a hapu? What is an iwi? What makes a hapu a hapu? What makes an iwi an iwi? And, you know, she sort of said, look, just sit with that for a bit, you know, because, you know, through this particular wahanga o te heke reo, through this particular aspect of the course, you know, we're going to delve deeper into actually, you know, these things that we take for granted. You know, we just, yeah, are they a hapu just because they say they're a hapu? So that's something I've been sitting on a bit and thinking about, particularly in relation to my own whakapapa. You know, what makes rangitāni or wairo rangitāni or wairo.
Mm.
So I'm really keen to get deeper into that kōrero.
What's the answer?
Owa. I'll report back in Mahuru Māori when we do this in te reo. Te kuru, you might know the answer.
Oh, I won't speak about your hapu e hoa, but yeah, we've got plenty of hapu here up the coast who operate, you know, as an iwi, run the show in their own territory, but there's also a good connection and sort of unity among the hapu within Ngāti Porou territory and others. But yeah, just what I love about real learning is that it is chipping away and delving deeper into your, you know, self-exploration. There's a lot of that going around this on IG, but when you're doing it a Māori nei, then it's just most satisfying, most rewarding. When you're learning about your own whakapapa and your own tikanga and how, you know, why was that tikanga left back in the day, or when was it buried? It was practiced only 100 years ago, you know. Can't talk about everything, I guess, on here, but looking at one of the things I'm most fascinated with and why I love wānanga reo and kura and wānanga is looking at tikanga and how they've evolved, because te reo is the vehicle for all of our tikanga. Without te reo, I believe te ao Māori could not survive.
Anna.
And you can't say the same about many other things. So that's why I'm so passionate about te reo, because it is the vehicle. It is like the fundamental pillar which te whare whakaaro, te whare o te ahu reo Māori stands. So kōrera ko te pautoko manawa o te reo. And I like how looking at how tikanga have evolved and how we apply them in different contexts today, because I feel like that's where we can contribute to the development of Aotearoa in an ethical, sustainable way.
Aye.
So we talk about te reo and anxiety and kupu and all this, but then there's that bigger picture as well that we're participating in when we're learning te reo, or we're heading that way.
Tika. Ai, rawe.
Love that kōrero.
On that note, I think it's time to introduce our manuhiri for this episode. After the break, we're going to be talking to someone who is well-versed in all of the fears and struggles that tauira of te reo Māori have. He's a teacher, he's an author, he's many different things. So we'll see you after the break.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has the lowdown on everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. Join some of the superstars of the investment and business world as they share advice from their time in the US so you can make your mahi count in this massive market. The Investment Fix podcast, brought to you by Invest New Zealand. Tune in today.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Hoki mai anō, it's a real pleasure to introduce our manuhiri today. He Mikeli, he's an author, a kaitito, a translator, an advocate for te reo Māori and a kaiako of te reo Māori. He's also the host of a group of resources called Everyday Māori, which you can find on Instagram and also in podcast form wherever you get podcasts from. Kia ora e hoa.
Tēnā koe e hoa, kia ora koutou.
Kia ora, pehe ana koe.
Oh, e pai ana, āhua māuiwi i tēnei wā, engari, e pai ana.
Kei te pai. Just quickly, nō hea koe, hoa?
Nō Ngāti Maniapoto, ahau, nō Ngāti Tahu, Ngāti Whāua hoki.
Kia ora.
Kaui.
So as you know, the kaupapa o tēnei rā is talking a little bit about our reo Māori journeys. Miriana and I have embarked on the Rūmaki reo waka. I tēnei tau, Te Kuru, as you are well aware, has been on that waka since he was born. And we were really just interested to hear from you, I guess, some tips, some advice, some things that you see as a kaiako that regularly trip people up, that sort of thing.
Mm.
Help us out.
My first question for you, though, is, are you a native speaker? Did you grow up speaking te reo?
Oh, no, I grew up speaking English in an English-speaking home with a Māori mother and a first-generation Irish-Dutch father. So there was like the odd words here and there that mum and dad would use, but no language. You know, we couldn't speak te reo Māori. And our whānau, I think, you know, my mum's mother, my grandmother was, had te reo and brought up her family the best she could, 7 children on her own in South Auckland, you know, doing her thing in the 60s and 70s. And teaching them te reo Māori just wasn't a focus at the time.
Mm. As for so many of our people, it was survival back then.
Aye.
Absolutely.
I hunuku atu ia, i Maniapoto, i wāhi ke atu rānei ki te tāne.
Yeah, she was one of many, like, of that urban drift she grew up in the Tarohe Pōtai in different areas around Tarohe Pōtai and at some point made the move into Tāmaki Makaurau for mahi, like many of her whānau. Yeah, and that's where mum grew up as well.
Does that memory of also having to sort of learn from scratch, as it were, help you as a kaiako reo, do you think?
Maybe, in some respects, because I'm teaching people, I teach adults, so work in adult education, who I suppose I have a similar experience to them. They, whether they're Māori or non-Māori, didn't grow up speaking the language, or for some actually, you know, had some experiences learning or speaking the language when they were children, but along the way lost it or never carried on. So I suppose in that respect I can relate to them, in wanting to know and wanting to learn the language, but never had it.
So when did you start learning? Was it something, a desire that you had from really, really young, or did it sort of hit you after you left school? Or
when I was little, I remember my nan's tangi, I was 8 at our marae, and I became very interested there in what was going on and more so in the kōrero, and just really wanted to understand. I was very inquisitive. So I think from there that kind of planted a seed, but it wasn't until I went to high school that I really got into it and started learning. It was a subject that was available to me. And so before that, it wasn't really available to me. I grew up in Taihape, it's small. I went to a country school of like 30 kids total. That was the whole school from 5 to 13 years old.
Wow.
And I remember we used to have a parent come in and teach us, like, and it was just the Māori kids that got pulled out of class to go to those lessons. So like I felt really special because I was different from everyone else. There's only like 5 of us that were Māori and we got pulled out to do te reo Māori lessons. So I thought that was really cool. This is special. I'm special. And so I think from there, I just wanted to know more and more and more. And then when I got the opportunity to learn at high school, yeah, I just took it by the reins and just the more I learned, the hungrier I got.
Did you feel like when you started your deal hiding it, you know, with the identity stuff that came up for you, you know, all of a sudden were you sort of confronted by the fact that, you know, you're queer, had brought up your parents and your aunties and uncles away from their whenua? Yeah, and how did you navigate that?
That was all a part of it, learning the language. You know, we're learning tikanga at the same time and more about who we are as Māori, our Māori tanga, our Māori way of being. And so all of that was all a part of the learning process. I enjoyed that. There was lots of, I don't have any bad experiences in relation to that. A few uncomfortable moments here and there, but no real bad experiences. I think being a fair Māori, sometimes it was actually my own peers saying, "You're not Māori." But that was, you know, when I was younger and it was other Māori who, you know, who were still learning themselves. As I got older, everything got a little bit easier, I suppose.
I've been there as well, Eho. Are you Māori?
Yeah.
I'm Kaitahu. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So as new learners, I mean, not completely new, for the listeners out there, Hemi was actually my kaiako once upon a time at AUT, Kurapō. And Mediana has also done Kurapō for a while. So we're not right at the beginning, however. It still feels pretty new to us and pretty scary, especially because we're in that space, ira, ira.
Mm.
We've learned to crawl.
We're learning to crawl, aye. Have you got sort of advice for us at this point at this stage?
Probably things you're already aware of, but I would say put time aside each day. That's my piece of advice. Like don't set aside an hour on this day or, you know, an hour on another day. But like micro learning, I think is helpful because time's so precious. But if you can dedicate 15 minutes in the morning every day to your revision and your learning, I think that's going to be a lot more helpful. And rather than trying to set aside a big gap of time that's quite often hard to do with mahi and all the other stuff that we have on. And then beside that, try and incorporate it into your life so that it's not just like a set time, set space, but it just becomes a part of your activities that you do. And the people that you interact with the most, get them on board. Because you're learning, you know, a language, another way to express yourself. You need to do that with people in order to develop that skill. So who are the people that you interact with the most in your day-to-day lives? Get them on board.
Mm.
Kia ora.
Kapai.
Big one there. Big one there for us and for everyone listening. Hey, to have that language bond and encourage your loved ones and your best friends.
Aye.
And start your little club.
Aye.
And meet up for coffee in the morning and have some reo Māori.
Absolutely.
So if your friends won't speak with you, then just get new friends. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and if that fails, just get a dog.
Okay, this is a random question, and it's for Hemi and Te Kuru. But I quite often, if I have to go to the local cafe during the middle of the day, and I've been, you know, in the reo Māori space all morning, and then I have to go order my lunch in Te Reo Pākehā, and I resent it. And I'm not even like I can't speak fluently, but that is, when I'm in that space, that's the only way I want to speak, and I actually really hate speaking English, but I have to because it's the only language I know fluently. But as fluent Te Reo Māori speakers, do you like just fucking hate speaking English?
I like English. I think English is a beautiful language. There are lots of words in English, like ethereal. You always can't think of them, but there's one. Yeah, I like English. It's just not like Hemi said, it's another way to express yourself. And speaking in Māori, there are reasons why you can't and we should not allow people to do whai kōrero or karanga in English because you cannot express yourself the correct way.
Mm.
In Māori in terms of tikanga or spiritually, it's not as appropriate and it's not the same. You're expressing yourself in a different way. So I don't have, I don't hate English. I enjoy using both and where I'm from, I mean, where I'm from in Te Tairawhiti, you know, and my elders often would just go easily, seamlessly switch between the two. You know, some of them probably more than they should. So it's just, and Tamariki these days do that as well, and it's called Mā Whitiwhiti. But I'm not encouraging Mā Whitiwhiti. I'm not encouraging people to switch between. I like staying one English Māori, one English Pākehā. I try not to drop words in the sentence, but I'm not opposed to it as well. There's a time and a place, ahemi, and there's some people who have really good timing for dropping in a Pākehā word in a Māori sentence that has really great humorous, comedic sort of effect. And Rāwiri Waititi actually is one of those people hearing him do some whaikōrero over the summer. He's got it down pat. Mm. But yeah, I'm not against English. I like both. Pehea koe hemi, ka kōrero Māori koe ki etahi kaimahi I ngātoa?
Kau, you know, like I understand that frustration, but I think it's all contextual for me. Like it's social, language is a social thing. So like when I'm in a Māori setting with people who speak Māori, I speak Māori. And when I'm in a setting where people don't speak Māori, I speak English. And kind of very rarely will I go in between the both, even though I encourage it a lot on my teachings, like on my channels, like chucking words here and there. And though I do with common words, but you know, beyond that, I think just consciously it's not at the forefront of my mind to be like using kupu Māori in a setting where people probably don't understand what they mean. When it's in an educational setting, it's quite different. And I will kind of just, yeah, go between the two quite freely, which I think a lot of our elders did. When I think about how our elders spoke, they, you know, dropped in and out of both quite freely. The only thing about English that I don't like is when, for example, this morning I was teaching greetings, quite simple greetings and terms of address, kia ora e hoa, tēnā koe e koro. And we were going through it. I was like, saying, now translate the, how would you translate this? Hello, old man. And I was just thinking, okay, let's look at it like this. That's what the meaning is. We're greeting an elderly man. Let's just leave it there. We won't translate it into English because it just doesn't do it justice. So I think that's where it is, where you find it's hard to find the words to translate an idea or even just a phrase sometimes in Māori.
Picking up again what you were saying, Leonie, I feel that frustration. And I think it's when you've made that decision to, and you want to only speak te reo, you then realise how much you're forced to speak English.
Mm.
So you're like, you've got this nice ahuru mōwai where, you know, reo and tikanga are the ways that you interact and guide all interactions and communications. And then you step out of that place and you're instantly confronted with English and forced to switch. So I think, yeah, I share that frustration. I just sometimes get hoha with my mates. I'm like, can you learn te reo? Can you learn it faster? Can you do heke reo with me? Like, you just want everyone to, because you've decided you want this to be your main form of communication.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the reality of the world we live in. You do have to mawhitiwhiti between the languages.
And I think maybe our friends in whānau Miriana might just have to put up with, maybe this is quite a common phase that people go through, being that annoying, this is a terrible phrase, but born again Māori.
My family would call me that.
Hi. And then eventually we grow out of that and then we're like, oh, Te Reo Pākehā is also beautiful. It can be used in different ways. I'm looking forward to that day.
Now, there are ways you can do it more subtly. You can ask someone, you know, kia ora, kei te pē here, how are you? You can translate it and you're sort of reminding them that you're a native and you're in a native land and this is the native language and it's not shitting on them, you know, you're not ke harai te takahi mana, but you're sort of just a friendly reminder. Even a kia pai tōra at the end. I'm here in where I live, the population's about 50-50 and, you know, I still get ka tū ngā pihi, I get looks of shock when I drop little Māori comments here and there if I'm in the public. And I do it intentionally because I want people to be reminded that, yep, I'm a native and this is my reo. And you'll hear it, but, you know, I'm not forcing you to speak it. I'm not going to speak to you so you don't understand, but I'll just use these little phrases that you should be aware of just to remind you where you're at.
Would you say that there are more non-Māori in the classes that you teach, Hemi? Just the classes that you teach sort of regularly at AUT?
I was at AUT. I'm not there this year, but
I'm
just on it. No, okay, bye. But it's actually, I think it's worth noting, just because where I worked in AUT in the city, I think it was kind of, there weren't a lot of Māori in the classes, in my classes anyway. There were, but they were the minority. And I think that's reflective of the area, the central Auckland area. because I used to work out south as well at the AUT campus out south, and it was largely Māori and Pacific. So I think it's kind of reflective of where the campus is. Now that I'm teaching online, I'm doing some other stuff online. Yeah, he nuinga Māori. I've got lots of Māori coming to the classes, but non-Māori as well.
Right. And have you noticed, over your teaching career, have you noticed a big difference in how that teaching is received between non-Māori and Māori tauira?
Yeah.
He pātou pai.
Yeah. This has always been like a hot conversation with me and my huamahi who work as educators as well, like how the knowledge is received and how it relates differently to people who are Māori and people who are non-Māori, and their experience as well, their experiences before coming into the classroom. You know, they have a completely different connection to the reo. And so you have to be very mindful of that and, yeah, look after both peoples coming into the classroom, being mindful that their experiences and their connection to the reo and to the culture are very different. And there's been some, you know, kōrero in the recent past about now that there's more and more Māori coming to learn, do we separate peoples and have classes for Māori and classes for non-Māori to learn te reo? And I'm very much against that. I think in order for non-Māori to learn and engage with us in a way that is proper and right, according to tikanga, they need to be exposed to all of that. And the only way that they can be exposed to that is by sitting next to us and hearing the way we laugh and hearing the things that, you know, we think about and talk, and the way that we think about things. And so exposure to all that has to be done together.
That's what Papa Timoti also says, that non-Māori learn a lot more than just the language when they're around us. It's important for non-Māori to be around Māori.
Aye.
Especially in Aotearoa, because they're learning how we are culturally.
Aye.
What are some of the insights, Ehua? You talked about it earlier, you touched on it, but what are some examples? Mena kaya koe etahi tauira, etahi wā tino hātikehi, puku kata, kare pai ki a koe tau kupu hātikehi ni, etahi wā kata kata. What are some hilarious or like really insightful or pensive moments, I don't know, that you have experienced in the education journey, a reo education that may not be accessible to non-reo speakers? Easy question.
I think maybe just like that, when you bring up the word hātikehi, like funny moments, I think I can't think of any one at the moment, but always trying to keep it light, I think, is something that I like to do and keep my classes, you know, light and enjoyable. I'm not the funniest person, but as long as everything's, you know, light, people can have fun, people can make a mistake and laugh about it with each other. I think the biggest thing is to make people feel comfortable and they have trust in you and they have trust in each other. Like, that's at the base of it all, is whakawhanaungatanga, you know, building a connection with the teacher, with the peers, so that people do feel like they can do that and can have a laugh. Aye.
Kia ora. Hey, thank you very much for coming along today and keeping things light with us. Tēnei te mihi nui ki a koe for your generosity of your time. To our listeners, please find Hear Me on Instagram. Check out his podcast, Everyday Māori, his books, A Phrase a Day. What are the other books that you've published, Ehua?
A Māori Word a Day, A Māori Phrase a Day.
A Māori Word a Day, A Māori Phrase a Day. And that takes us back to that excellent advice that Hemi gave us there. Just put aside a little bit of time every day, whether you're in Kurapua or Wānangareo or not. Put aside a little bit of time every day. I think that's the best advice I've received recently, so thank you very much for that. And then some other te reo Māori resources that are very readily available to all of us. Taringa podcast, which is a really great linguistics podcast out of Te Wānanga Aotearoa. The Māori Made Easy books by Scotty and Stacey Morrison. If you are in Rūmaki Reo, I recommend checking out Back to Kura, the podcast recorded by Shiloh Keno and Ashley Nathan across their Takiura journey last year. It's all there. There's lots of free resources for those of us who are time poor and poor. But kia kaha katoa in your journey, and obviously we'll be back on lots of different kaupapa in between, but we're going to invite Hemi back to be on our podcast in Mahuru, where Mariana and I will attempt to participate in an entire episode of Nia in Te Reo Māori.
Goodbye.
So come back and see us, e hoa.
Hopefully I'll be past the point of I, Kyle and Owa. Because those are our safe words that we've been taught so far. So fingers crossed.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you all again in 2 weeks' time. Find us on Instagram, Nia Te Reo Māori Podcast, and Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts. Ka kite.
Nair is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air and brought to you by the Spinoff Podcast Network. It was hosted and researched by Leonie Hayden with Te Kuru Jews and Mariana Johnson. Nair was produced by Te Aihe Butler with senior production from Jane Yee and project management from Mark Kelleher. Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spinoff. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spinoff member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate. The Spinoff Podcast Network.